Gretchen and I are sharing two passages of Scripture today, and because we're Unitarian Universalists, they're very short.
The first is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 5. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead?
From Paul's letters to the Hebrews. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And there ends our reading from Scripture.
We have another reading, this one, a general reading for Easter and Passover. Pack nothing. Bring only your determination to serve and your willingness to be free. Don't wait for the bread to rise. Take nourishment for the journey, but eat standing. Be ready to move at a moment's notice.
Do not hesitate to leave your old ways behind. Fear, silence, submission. Only surrender to the need of the time. To love justice, and walk humbly with your God.
Begin quickly, before you have time to sink back into old slavery. Set out in the dark. I will send fire to warm and encourage you. I will be with you in the fire, and I will be with you in the cloud.
I will give you dreams in the desert, to guide you safely home to that place you have not yet seen. I am sending you into the wilderness to make a new way and to learn my ways more deeply.
Some of you will be changed by weathers and wanderings that even your closest friends will have to learn your features as though for the first time. Some of you will not change at all.
Some will be abandoned by your dearest loves and misunderstood by those who have known you since birth and feel abandoned by you. Some will find new friendship in unlikely faces and old friends as faithful and true as the pillar of God's flame.
Sing songs as you go and close together. You may at times grow confused and lose your way. Touch each other and keep telling stories. Make maps as you go, remembering the way back from before you were born.
So you will be only the first of many waves of deliverance on these desert seas.
It is the first of many beginnings, your Paschal tide.
Remain true to this mystery.
Pass on the whole story. Do not go back. I am with you now, and I am waiting for you.
It seems to me the job of all Easter messages is to convey, by some means, the reality of rebirth and resurrection. Declare it to the humanist, to the Jew, to the Muslim, to the Christian, to the believer, the non-believer, the almost believer, the once upon a time believer. To say this is true, this is profound, and this is something we experience every day, all the time. Well, truthfully, no, not every day. In fact, weeks can go by, months, we hate to think years. But eventually, in the fullness of time, we rediscover and recover these truths. Understanding that religious traditions often grow through metaphor, Unitarian Universalists have often sought to tell the Easter story through images of spring and nature. It makes perfect sense because the spring celebration rituals of Earth-centered peoples predate both Passover and Easter and speak to us vividly in a language to which we can all relate. And here's one example.
Consider the amazing bulb flowers. Hyacinth, crocus, daffodils. Bulb resurrections sprouting in corners of yards, fences. In unexpected places, they appear year after year. Consider the bulb's ability to respond to the mixed-up weather. Consider the amazing force with which they emerge and then reach up to the sky, slicing through the accumulated leaves and earth not so long ago frozen. We too are equipped with that inexorable drive to show our colors, to fulfill our lives. What coldness of mind or spirit keeps our life restrained? What deep freeze of doubt or fear or numbness? What layers have accumulated to thwart, distort, or impede our thriving? Let us be gardeners. As we peel back the thwarting accumulation of old ideas, of untried impressions, habits, fears, and unexamined doubts, revealing the power of life.
So you can do a great deal with metaphor and analogy. George Lakoff, before he became famous for political commentary, wrote a book many years ago as a linguist titled Metaphors We Live By, saying that we do indeed think, feel, and act often in response to metaphor, simile, and analogy. Images from the natural world make powerful sense, but having served congregations in Massachusetts and Colorado, I've learned that Easter sermons celebrating spring are chancy. Sometimes I have extolled the virtues of the flowering earth, the budding tree, as the snowflakes fly and the snow grows deeper and deeper. So a very real Easter option available to any of us is the affirmation that resurrection in human life is as real and manifest as Doppler radar and spring flowers. Old hurts heal. Feuds are forgotten. The lame walk and folks given up for dead somehow survive. Relationships entombed by bitterness and conflict can find the stone rolled away and life restored. This is not to say that life is composed entirely of happy endings or that everything turns out for the best, but neither is life one crucifixion after another. There are sufficient miracles to give us what we must have, the one essential ingredient for human living, hope. Some weeks ago, I came across an Associated Press article by Pedro Servín, reprinted in the Denver Post, and as I read it, I became more and more excited because I knew I had found a resurrection moment. Catuera, Paraguay. The sounds of a classical guitar come from two big jelly cans. Used X-rays serve as the skins of a thumping drum set. A battered aluminum salad bowl and strings tuned with forks from what must have been an elegant table make a violin. Bottle caps work perfectly well as keys for a saxophone. A chamber orchestra of 20 children uses these and other instruments fashioned out of recycled materials from a landfill where their parents eke out livings as trash pickers. Regularly performing the music of Beethoven and Mozart, Henry Mancini and the Beatles, a concert they put on for the Associated Press also featured Frank Sinatra's My Way and some Paraguayan polkas. Rocio Riveros, 15, said it took her a year to learn how to play her flute, which was made from tin cans. "Now I can't live without this orchestra," she said. Word is spreading about these kids from Catuera, a vast landfill outside Paraguay's capital of Asunción, where about 25,000 families live alongside reeking garbage in abject poverty. The youngest of the orchestra of instruments recycled from Catuera has performed in Brazil, Panama, and Colombia this year. They hope to play at an exhibit opening next year in honor of the Musical Instrument Museum in Phoenix, Arizona. "We want to provide a way out of the landfill for these kids and their families, so we're doing the impossible, so that they can travel outside Paraguay to become renowned and admired," said Fabio Chavez, a social worker and music teacher who started the orchestra. "The community of Catuera could not be more marginalized, but the music coming from garbage has some families believing in a different future for their children. Thanks to the orchestra, we were in Rio de Janeiro. We bathed in the sea, on the beaches of Panama and Copacabana. I never thought my dreams would become reality," said Tanea Vera, a 15-year-old violinist who lives in a shack by a contaminated stream. Her mother has health problems, her father abandoned them, and her older sister left the orchestra after becoming pregnant. Tanea, though, wants to become a veterinarian as well as a musician. It's quite an interesting story. Hard to believe in some ways that you can fashion instruments from garbage. Well, maybe not so surprising, honestly, because, I mean, as kids, you and I probably found ways to take objects around the house, tubes and different kinds of things, and with those, we would construct our own special kind of music. And with our special kind of music, we would make sounds that our parents would tolerate, sometimes appreciate, sometimes say they liked. But we knew, most of us at the time, that we were kids making kid sounds. We were not in Catuera, Paraguay, but these children that you'll see now are. I think you liked Landfill Harmonic as much as I did, and you probably see why I chose it for today. By all accounts, Tom Clements, executive director of the Colorado Department of Corrections, was a superb corrections professional. In Colorado, he advocated for reducing solitary confinement, providing mental health services to inmates, and improving the transition from prison to the streets. The gunshot that took his life still echoes throughout the state. At Tom Clements Memorial Service, hundreds of law enforcement officers attended. There were 39 directors and former directors of state prison systems from across the country, honor guards from 14 states, and a delegation of corrections officials from Morocco. The Colorado legislature took the morning off, and many state officials in the capital were able to attend. Lisa Clements, Tom's wife, spoke at his service, accompanied by the couple's two daughters. "It's a challenge to wrap up all that the girls and I want to say about Tom. The love of my life, my hero, the best father and husband you could ever see." Lisa added, "But in the end, we want everyone who hears Tom's story to know how he lived his life, believing in redemption and the ability of the human heart to change. He would want justice, certainly, but moreover, he would want forgiveness." Tom Clements forged good relationships with many Colorado officials, including Governor Hickenlooper. When he took Hickenlooper on tours of prisons, the two spent much of their time visiting correctional industries where prisoners learn and apply job skills. Hickenlooper today owns a fishing rod made by prisoners and a dog trained by prisoners. Inmates make furniture and work on cars. "I almost ended up with a saddle," Governor Hickenlooper said, "and I don't have a horse." It was an unbelievably beautiful saddle. A significant tribute to Clements' beliefs was found at his memorial service, where the pianist was a convicted killer. Chuck Limbrick served 23 years in prison for murdering his mother when he was 15 years old. Shortly after he was released, the result of sentence commutation supported by a number of officials, he met Clements at a church they both attended. Limbrick devoted himself to religious life while in prison and now works as a church musician. "I just needed to be encouraged that I could do it," Limbrick said after the service. "Tom believed in us. He said he believed in me. That's huge." Tom Clements' belief stemmed from his faith. When his pastor opened one of Clements' Bibles after his death, he found one particular passage marked. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." That's an odd statement for 21st century people. We've been learned not to go with it. We need evidence, and I agree. Except the evidence is around us all the time, in the orchestra from Quatera, in the lives of some prisoners who have been rehabilitated. Not all, not everyone. I said earlier that it doesn't always end happily. And Good Friday, the crucifixion, is very close to Easter, the resurrection. The two are intimate with one another. One can't exist without the other. But in the midst of death, there is life again and again. And you and I find it, create it, and sometimes someone else helps us to see the way of letting the light in. I think back to those ancient times and those very ancient words, which must have been absolutely astounding for the people who knew Jesus was dead. To be confronted by these words, which are so extraordinary, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And I think it's a perfect question for us on Easter Sunday. Why so often do we look for those things, people, and beings that truly live or that are almost being born? Why do we look for them among the dead? Because they are not there. They liveth. And so do we. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Let's join together. I'm going to invite you to stand and body.